This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Sean, I haven't had a chance to talk to you off the air. You just had the shift change with Andrew. Are you all up to speed on all our contingency plans for today?
I sure am, Dory, yes. I know what happens if the system blows up. I know how to put you on a different tie line.
Nicole's briefed you on everything that went down this morning?
No, let me pop Nicole up on the air here.
Oh, okay.
Normally Andrew would do that for us.
Oh, Andrew briefed him.
Yeah, Andrew briefed me.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm cautiously, I shouldn't jinx it by talking about it, but in the 3 hours before I went on the air, my internet dropped out four times here at home.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of some, you know, recordings and projects and stuff. And so I think there's a likelihood, because Xfinity has been doing some work all around our neighborhood, but I'm nervous about it. So I just want to make sure you're ready to go.
I am ready to go. And the other day, Nicole mentioned you were having internet problems, and I was excited for the chance that you may have almost come by the studio that day.
Oh, that was just yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
It was a planned shutdown, and I told Nicole, if it's still out in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to just have to drive down to the studio. But, that would have been awful for me.
Do you still have your long, flowing locks?
No, I got my hair cut 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But it was long. Oh, it was long. It was the longest it'd been since college. I think my wife kind of liked it because I looked like a different man. I think it's kind of exciting.
Mm.
But I got the haircut. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
I'm raring to go. But I just, coming down there, I'd feel like a foreign, I'd feel like an alien walking into the building there.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
It
would be weird.
I mean, think about this. I've been doing this show for 25 years. I worked for the company a year before that. I had been coming in there basically every day, and we started in the Cairo TV building, and now we're separate companies. But I'd been coming down to that building every day for 24 years, and now I haven't been there for 5 months, and I don't know if I'm coming back.
I think we should celebrate your half anniversary. 6 months in, we could celebrate that you've been at home for 6 months.
That's coming up soon.
Yeah.
We're less than a month away from my 6 month at home anniversary, because it started before the Rona with the knee surgery. Mm-hmm. So I've 6 months that I haven't been in there. It's going to feel weird. It was like I was at King 5 for, oh gosh, about 11 years. And then once in a while, I knew every square inch of that building. I worked till 11:30 every night, and I'd, you know, poke around these recesses. They had just these strange storage rooms in the basement, and I just felt like it was my second home. And then, you know, years later, I'd go back over there to, you know, record a TV show or something. They'd ask me to be a guest, and I just feel like such an alien. It's so quick when you have had something that's just a deep part of your life, and then, you know, it doesn't take long for it to just feel like alien territory. So, yeah. But if we ever have that issue, I'll jump in the car and I'll get down there. I'll zip down and do the show there.
That sounds great.
Exciting.
It would be really nice to see you, Dory.
I know. I haven't seen you in forever. Crying out loud. All right. Should we get to the Fast 15 here?
I guess.
Okay. Here we go. So yesterday, a bunch of people were posting pics on Twitter because they removed the Key Arena sign from the top of the Seattle Center Coliseum. And it looked like it was quite an operation. They had to rig it up with cables, and then a helicopter flew it out of there. So that's pretty cool. But somebody posted a picture of it with signage gone, and it said, Key Arena is no more. And I retweeted that, and I said, Key Arena never was. It's always been and will forever be the Seattle Center Coliseum. And that's, you know, with that distinctive roof line and having grown up here, having watched the Sonics win the championship, they didn't win it at home. But I went to, you know, finals game in 79, and then they won it on the road against the Washington Bullets. One of the most, you think the Redskins is a politically incorrect name for our nation's capital? They had to change the name, the Bullets, to the Wizards, because Bullets was way too controversial, even before the cancel culture. Anyway, I digress. So, it's just always been the Seattle Center Coliseum to me, and will forever be that. I'm not going to call it the Climate Pledge Arena. And by the way, can we stop with the Climate Pledge? It's July 12th or July 9th. I haven't seen a ray of sunshine in July yet. We need some more global warming. We need the climate to heat up. We need some sunshine in the summertime. We're already stuck at home, and we're anxious and depressed, and we're not as social as we used to be. Could we at least get some summertime sun? Forget about a climate pledge. I want a global warming pledge. I want people right now. I'm going to pull a Howard Beale from Network. Even if your lawn is fine, I want you right now to go fire up your lawnmower. If you have a leaf blower, fire it up. And let's see if we can create some global warming and get some summertime sun in July here. Make sure that your garage door is open, or if you're parked outside, you're fine, because I don't want any carbon monoxide issues tied to me. But go run your car. Idle it for a couple of hours. Let's see if we can create some global warming and get some July sunshine. Are you with me, people?
Dory.
Because I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's a great quote from that movie. What is that?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I have lactose intolerance. I have lactose intolerance, so if I eat the right / wrong foods, I could help with some methane production.
Oh, what are the worst foods for that?
Oh, pretty much everything. Cheese, any dairy, okay. Tomatoes, any alliums, garlic, onions, things like that. I'm a mess.
Sean, expect from Amazon Foods the finest assortment of cheeses at your doorstep later today.
I am so excited.
Okay. There we go. All right. We're going to get some sunshine. We're taking it upon ourselves to bring some July into July here in Seattle. But anyway, when I posted that about the Seattle Center Coliseum, it was really cool. You can go check it out on my Twitter. But people started posting pictures of the old Bubbleator at the food circus, is what we called the Seattle Center House. And then somebody posted a picture of the Fun Forest and the Flight to Mars, where I snuck a kiss with my first girlfriend after the walk-a-lot. And so I was just going all down nostalgia lane yesterday with Seattle Center stuff. So anyway, I'm going to probably keep calling it the Seattle Center Coliseum and not the Climate Pledge Arena because I want global warming right now. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, we were going to talk to the mayor of Tenino down there in, I believe it's Thurston County, I think. Anyway, we were going to talk to him today. I thought they were doing something really cool, but he was on a emergency call, and I think we're going to get him on tomorrow. But listen to what they're doing to kind of boost the local economy. They have started printing their own city currency because they wanted to help out their residents who have lost their jobs because of the coronavirus. So if you go in, if you have some proof that you've lost your job because of coronavirus, they're going to give you $300, but the currency, it's about the shape of a dollar bill, but it's wooden. It's printed on wood, and it says Tenino, and then COVID relief, and then the Latin phrase Habemus autem sub potestate, which means we have it under control. And you can only spend it at Tenino businesses. And so if you are a business owner, you collect this money, just like it's dollar for dollar currency, and then you take it to City Hall and they'll exchange it for cash. And it's just such a smart idea. Because a lot of people who didn't lose their jobs have been collecting money. There are a lot of people. I mean, the scam the state is pulling right now is criminal. It's criminal. The state, I mean, if people don't know, the state of Washington has told employees that they're going to be furloughed one day a week. But because they're furloughed one day a week, it's going to make them eligible to apply for $600 a week in federal unemployment dollars. And very few of them make $600 a day. So they're going to work less, get paid more, and Jay Inslee has decided to screw over the nation's taxpayers because he can't control his spending. And we do not have a state budget crisis. There's no Seattle budget crisis because of a lack of revenues. It's because their spending has gone through the roof. And at the state of Washington, Jay Inslee's the state budget was in the 30 something billion range, and now it's about 56 billion. He's almost doubled it in his nearly eight years as governor. He's almost doubled it. And then he says, oh, we have a crisis. We need to raise taxes. Well, what Tenino's doing is smart. They're making sure you can prove you've lost your job. And then they're making sure that the money's not going to go out of the city to some big box store or something, but you can only spend it at a city merchant. I think that's really smart. And when I'm often so critical of government, when government does something that is really clever, I will spotlight that as well. And so we're going to try to talk to the mayor about that on tomorrow's big show. Now, speaking of the state of Washington and the tax increases that are coming, I told you right before the top of the hour, because of the sheer incompetence of our state unemployment office, they're talking about tripling the unemployment tax from 0.7% to up to 2.2%. The city of Seattle says, oh, we have a revenue crisis. No, you got a spending problem. The city of Seattle just raised the biggest business tax in the history of our region. And the state of Washington is now talking about doing the exact same thing today. Washington state legislator Nicole Macri, a Democrat from Seattle, says that it is time for a new progressive statewide tax modeled after the Seattle business tax. This would be the most massive tax increase in the history of the state of Washington. And I'm telling you this because nobody else does. This is not a revenue problem. The only reason they're having budget issues is not because they're not collecting enough taxes from us. It's because they are spending way too much. And for 10 years, I've been saying the spending is absolutely unsustainable. And it is. I said, whenever we have that economic downturn. But, of course, they just were trying to buy votes with every tax increase. And so that's where we are right now. Next up in the Fastest 15, Oh, what a sad story out of Ballard, my old stomping grounds, where Q13, I'm just going to play clips from the Q13 story. One family in Ballard had three cars stolen in one night. And Q13 talked with Mary Kay Jebusek about having three cars stolen in one evening.
I got up this morning and I was taking out the garbage and I looked and realized, I'm like, didn't I leave the car on the street? And when I turned around, I looked and saw that our garage door was open. And then it all clicked that all three vehicles were gone.
Mary Kay Jebusek couldn't quite believe her eyes. Her family's three vehicles, an Acura TL, Toyota Avalon, and a Chevy Cruze, were all gone. Inside her Ballard home, she realized the three sets of keys were also missing, pointing to a chilling conclusion. The thief or thieves actually entered her home in the middle of the night.
I'm just happy none of us were hurt, because any one of us could have gotten up when they were in the house. And that's,
I mean, think about it. What a sick feeling that is. If you've ever had, and I've had cars broken into, and when you see that smashed window in your car, it's just heartbreaking. I've had a home broken into when I lived in Ballard, and you come home to what you think's going to be an empty house, and you see your front door ajar, and it's just chilling. Imagine having three cars stolen in one night.
Scary.
She thinks most likely the family's car parked on the street was broken into, and the garage clicker inside gave the culprit access to the garage and ultimately the home.
I'm still in shock. It's like I just can't believe that somebody or some people did something like that.
Now the family is left with no transportation.
I can't get to work. My younger son, because he lost his internship, is doing Postmates, which now he can't do.
But the biggest issue is Mary Kay's husband has cancer and needs weekly treatments. Because he's immune compromised, taking the bus or rideshare services aren't safe options during the pandemic.
My husband has doctor's appointments. I have one kid that doesn't want to go get out and get a job at QSC or Fred Meyer's because he's afraid to bring something home, you know? So it stinks.
Q13 News has that story at Q13.com. It's just, it's so sad. And again, this is what our politicians have unleashed on this entire region. You know, we decriminalize all drugs in King County. We're going to give money to heroin addicts. We're going to collect it from other taxpayers, collect it from big evil business. And this has become a magnet destination for heroin addicts all around the country, and they need stolen material to get their next fix, and a family loses three cars. They don't think about the human consequences. What a sad story that is. And car thefts just on the rampage all around this region right now. And you know how you could start dealing with it? Instead of having a revolving door and no bail that's everybody's calling for, do what California did 20, 30 years ago with Grand Theft Auto, when car theft was an epidemic, and make it a severely punished crime. That'd be one way to deal with it, but we're going in the exact wrong direction. We're just letting criminals walk free every single time. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, if not Jay Inslee, then who? We've talked with Tim Iman, we've talked with Joshua Freed, and we're going to talk again with Lauren Culp, who wants to be your next governor. He's going to join me next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've talked about an awful lot, I don't think that Jay Inslee has done much of anything to get reelected to a third term. In fact, I think he's done a lot of things that deserve to get voted out of office. But who? Who's out there to replace him? There are the Republican side is kind of galvanizing around Tim Eymann, Joshua Fried, and this man, Lauren Culp. He's been the sheriff in Republic, Washington, or the police chief, and is running for governor. And he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Lauren, good to talk to you again.
Good to be back with you, Dory. Thank you.
Okay, so, here's the main reason we reached out to you, because I'm here in insular Seattle, King County, and it's just a, you know, it's a one-party region here in the city. But my producer, Nicole, she went up to see her family up in Whatcom County over the 4th of July, and she said there were Lauren Culp signs everywhere, and I realized, yeah, I got to get out of Seattle and King County a little bit to see what the rest of the state is thinking. So how's the campaign going, first of all?
It's going absolutely fantastic, Dory. We, for the last 3 months, my campaign has been leading the Republican pack in both amounts of dollars raised and the amount of individual donors. And I'm not talking by a little bit, but by a lot. Just last week, the first week of July, you know, the PDC requires us to report weekly now. Just the first week of July alone, we raised over $130,000 to the Culp campaign. The next closest competitor didn't even break over $50,000. And that's all small donor, individual people. The average donation of my campaign is $70 per person. It's okay. Absolutely going crazy.
Let's talk about some issues here, because that's what it's always going to come down to. And let's talk about things that have been prominent decision points for Governor Inslee and points of differentiation, I would assume, between you and him. He has now, as of this week, dictated that all businesses in the state must mandate that their customers have face masks or kick the customers out of the business. What is your position on the face masks?
Well, my position on the face mask is the same with pretty much everything, Dory. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the rule of law. And I believe in individual freedom and liberty, and that our government needs to stay within the confines of the law, which is the rule book for the government, you know, the Constitution. So on face masks, if people want to wear face masks, then wear face masks. If they don't want to wear face masks, then they shouldn't be forced to wear face masks, because they have the freedom of choice. They are free individual citizens, and the government works for us. We do not work for the government. We put Jay Inslee into office to run the executive branch of our state government. Not every aspect of our lives, not every aspect of our businesses. You know, and this is the guy, he's now saying we need to wear face masks, and if you don't, he's basically making his own police force with the Department of Health and L&I, and going in and finding businesses if they're doing nothing more than trying to get their business back up and running and make a living for them and their families. And he's weaponizing the state departments, because he knows the local police are not going to go along with this stuff, because they took an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution as well. And so if people want to wear them, if a business wants to require customers to come into their store to have a mask, then you have a choice as a customer. You can put the mask on and go into that business, or you can take your business elsewhere.
Right.
The same way, if the business doesn't want people to wear a mask, doesn't require them, people going in can decide whether they want to wear a mask and go in anyway, or go to another business. That's called freedom.
Okay, and here's the thing. I absolutely agree with you. And I think that the so-called science behind face masks is not science at all. It's people with PhDs who are giving opinions, and they are hailed as scientists all of a sudden who are infallible. So I agree with you. But you go head-to-head with Jay Inslee in a general election. If you make it through the primary, he's going to say Lauren Culp wants to kill your 80-year-old grandma because he didn't go along with the face mask mandate. What do you say to that?
Right. Well, this is the same Jay Inslee who said that he cares about our health and everybody needs to wear a face mask, right? This is the same Jay Inslee that in February signed into law a bill that was put on his desk that lowered the penalty for intentionally infecting someone with HIV. He lowered it from a felony to a misdemeanor. And now he's going to tell me he cares more about our health than anybody else. Why would you lower the penalty for intentionally, not accidentally, intentionally infecting someone with HIV if you care about people's health? So his arguments are moot.
Yeah, I talked about that on my show a couple of days ago. It's a great rebuttal to that. Okay, reopening schools. The president says he wants all schools reopened in the fall. I polled my listeners. They overwhelmingly want their kids back in school in the fall. A lot of teachers don't want to go back to school. What would you do about the schools in our state?
Well, I would leave it at the local school level. You know, the people that at the local level, the parents and the school board, they know what's going on in their communities, just like local businesses know, just like county commissioners and local sheriffs know what's going on in their communities. To make a blanket policy across this whole state on anything, on land use, on building codes, on schools, is absolutely ridiculous. Not everything fits that might fit in Seattle might not fit, you know, down in Okanagan or in Spokane. I want our government in the state level to get off the citizens' backs and return freedom and liberty to the citizens of the state. And that's going to happen when I'm governor. And just to touch on something real quick that you mentioned a few minutes ago about King County and getting out of King County and seeing cult signs everywhere. I was just at a rally 2 days ago. I had a meet and greet in King County, and we had a venue, and it was packed full of people with standing room only. And there were 100 other people standing outside the venue that could not get in. And they were standing in the rain. They stayed out there for an hour while I gave my presentation inside. And then I grabbed a small box microphone and speaker, and I went outside and gave another presentation back to back because there were so many people from King County that showed up to a CULP event. That I'm seeing that all over the state. We just had a rally in Ephrata yesterday. 2 days' notice. I was like, hey, you know, we got time. Let's run over to Eastern Washington. I talked to my volunteers, and they set it up with a live band and food trucks. And there were over 300 people that showed up for that event with 2 days' notice.
Okay.
I'm having this happen all over the state.
No, you sound fired up. Yeah, I've heard that.
I am so excited.
Yeah, okay. One last state issue, Lauren. The state budget. They're telling us that there's going to be a several billion dollar budget hole. Just today, we have a state rep from Seattle, a Democrat named Nicole Macri, and she says she wants to take the business tax that Seattle Council just passed, and she wants to expand that to statewide because we're facing a budget deficit in our state. How would you handle the budget deficit caused by the economic meltdown?
Well, the same way that families and small businesses have to deal with it right now. They have to tighten their belts, right? Because Jay Inslee shut a lot of them down, hurt their income. So they have to tighten their belt, and that's what the state government needs to do as well. You know, just before Jay Inslee took office, the state budget was about $30 billion a year. That's billion with a B, $30 billion. Since he's been in office, it's almost doubled, Dory. The state is sucking out of taxpayers' pockets almost $60 billion a year. That's about $1 billion a week that's coming from the taxpayers in this state. There's not a revenue problem. There's a spending problem. The state is going to have to tighten its belt and not take more tax money from the people because we are overtaxed already. I want to return freedom and liberty to this state, to the citizens. I want businesses to be free. This is not a business-friendly state. It's not a family-friendly state, but it will be when I'm governor because we will get our government back within the confines of the Constitution and the rule of law, and it won't be doing everything that it's doing to the citizens that it is right now. It's absolutely ridiculous. We do not need more revenue. We need less spending.
That's the answer I wanted to hear on that question. All right, Lauren Culp, he wants to be your next governor. You can check him out online, Culp, C-U-L-P, culpforgovernor.com. Lauren, it's good to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll do it again before the primary in August, okay?
Yes, sir, and definitely I'll be on your show a lot after I'm governor. I appreciate the time, Dory.
Okay. All right, Lauren. I appreciate it. Lauren Culp,
have a
wants
good day.
To be your next governor. Let me know what you think about what you just heard. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more still ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Wow. Less than 4 months. We'll know who the next president's going to be. Joe Biden or Donald Trump, if they both make it all the way to Election Day. And I don't mean physically. I just mean, you know, there are all kinds of things that can happen as crazy as it is. Joe Biden, he's apparently buying into, he's adopted a lot of Bernie Sanders' pretty radical positions. So Joe's going, he decided, I'm not going to be the moderate candidate. I'm going to be the radical left candidate. And as you know, that means hating on cops. I'll tell you an update on the Molly Moon story that we just got, by the way, right after the top of the hour. But, you know, when a major presidential candidate says that police have become the enemy, that's just detestable in my view as a voter. I just I can't believe that we're going to go into 4 years of just this absolute rancid cop hate.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is,
but
that...
Can we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
So they've become the enemy, he said. He also, I think he's got to learn exactly how to use the word woke.
All of a sudden, this phrase, everybody's been woked. Well, guess what? The rest of the working class people in America have been awakened and realized, whoa.
They've been woked and whoa. And then there's just one more example of how he starts talking and he goes down a cul-de-sac and he can't get out of it. And he just gets completely lost.
Lonnie knows I believe this every fiber of my being. We're posed. What I propose is it can be done. I think we're in a position to really make it happen. And my team and your team are already working closely together and to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing and look, I guess I'm taking too much time, but you know,
that's his bailout. Every time he gets completely lost. Look, I'm taking too much time. We need a montage of those. All right, got some important updates for you. The big lead at 2, right after we check the news, as the Dory Monson Show continues.